Now I look at the underachievers, guys that someone could say got unlucky. If you just look at their BABIP, for instance, some of the highest in all of Major League Baseball last year. As I was going through this, I thought it was really interesting that one of the highest BABIPs last year at 334 was Noah Syndergaard, who got unlucky, which means he could be even better in 2017, which is kind of scary.
Yeah.
But Michael Pineda is somebody that Yankee fans certainly have waited and waited and waited for this guy just to be able to get the out, right? Get out of the inning, get out of the get out a hitter who he already has two strikes on. And like I said, any Yankee fan will tell you that is the bugaboo when it comes to Michael Pineda. But they can also tell you that he has the strikeout ability, you know, an over 10 K per nine to strike, to get guys out. He doesn't really walk all that many guys. He has the ability to be a dominant pitcher. But the home run to fly ball percentage, terrible at 17%. The BABIP was terrible. But I think we've seen this now over the last couple of years where these numbers are consistently kind of terrible. Like, I know these points are a bit unlucky, but seemingly each and every year, nothing really changes with this guy. In 2015, his 4.37 ERA was accompanied with a 3.34 at FIP. So you would have drafted him last year saying, wow, this guy's really going to have a nice year. Like, he was so unlucky in 2015. And then in 2016, a 4.82 ERA, and the FIP was over a point under. I get the FIP was still at 3.80, but it was still a point under that ERA, which again, in the XFIP at 3.30, you have to think, again, he's going to bounce back a little bit. But Tony, I think there's just something with this guy where everyone's like, I am done with him. I'm done waiting around on him, even though these numbers kind of indicate he should be better.
I want to pick him.
Okay.
And every draft I'm in, I never get him because someone else grabs him. So people are not looking at this, and everybody looks at the promise. Now, the home run to fly ball ratio is a problem because he plays in Yankee Stadium, and I think it's always going to be high, and I think that ERA is going to always be a little higher than someone here. But a K per nine's there. I believe he was one of the leaders in swinging strike rates.
Yep.
I think the guy can pitch. And the ballpark's a factor, and he lets bad at-bats get to him. So mentally, he's not all there as far as being a dominating pitcher. But still, that's the next step of this guy, and it's the talent's there. If this guy gets to double-digit rounds based on that 4 ERA, I would draft him every time and take a shot. Other people won't, and everybody's afraid of him, but there always seems to be one guy in a draft that does.
In the Roto Experts mock draft, he went in the 20th round. Forget double digits. He went in the 20th round here of the draft. His current ADP, NFBC, is 211. I mean, he's not costing you very much for a guy that Tony says he wants, and Scott, a lot of people think are very, very talented.
You know, this is one of the most baffling guys in all of fantasy baseball that I was a fan for a long time of. You know, but you look at last year, the ERA was 4.82, the FIP's 3.80. All the advanced statistics for the last few years are pointing to this guy should be better than he is. But throughout the context of the game, he seems to, if you watch him, he seems to have trouble with his pitches if he doesn't get ahead in the count, especially with his fastball. Because then hitters sit on the fastball, and they take him out of the yard like Tony pointed to. And it just like, and it rattles his confidence. All the numbers are pointing to this guy being better than he should, but the book on him is like, you know, if this guy doesn't get ahead of you with his fastball, he can get a lot of trouble.
Corey, you're the Yankee fan here, like myself, unlike Tony and Scott, like you have watched this guy, and I know how frustrating it is. Like, I'll see his name on the board, and I'm already getting frustrated by the time that he gets two strikes and two outs and lets up a three-run bomb. Like, I'm already waiting for that. But you as a Yankee fan, can you get on board with Michael Pineda?
Yeah, and get on board with him, especially at the price you have to pay on draft day. And I think Tony hit the point. You look at the numbers, right, and this guy should be an elite pitcher. He has an elite strikeout rate, you know what I mean? He has excellent fastball. He has good stuff. But he gives up the home runs, and that could be beneficial. I mean, that could be a reason because of the ballpark. But other than that, you know, the numbers don't kind of line up with the talent. So I think it's correct what Tony says. This could be a mental thing, you know what I'm saying? So you got a dude here who is, you know, probably struggles with the language and stuff like that, maybe a little bit awkward. So he can be, you know, the mental part of the game is like what Tony says is probably what is next to come. If he does that, he's going to be a tremendous value on draft day if he can stay healthy.
What about a guy like Carlos Rodon, who also underachieved a bit last year? Rodon It was just, what, 2 years ago, everyone was going gaga for this guy. Last year, finished just 9-10. Walk per nine, under three. Strikeouts per nine, over nine. But the ERA was four. The FIP matched, right? The FIP matched at four. The XFIP just a tad under four. But the BABIP was incredibly high at 330. Tony, is Carlos Rodon unlucky and he underachieved? Or, you know, is he just not as good as many people thought over the last couple of years?
He's the same. This is a lot like Michael Pineda. Yep. I think he's actually a guy that's very good and makes a bad pitch here or there that comes back as a home run. And it just absolutely, and they, again, another ballpark, the fourth best offensive ballpark in baseball. I like this kid. I'm going to draft this kid. I'll have this kid on a lot of teams. I really think that this season end, he can have a 3.5 ERA. I think he could pencil me up with 180 strikeouts. He's not going to win a ton of games playing in Chicago. If I get double-digit wins, I'll be happy. The walks have come down. That was a problem early in his career. I mean, his walks were at 2.95 last year. I think the guy could pitch, and all the peripherals say he could pitch. One bad pitch is killing these guys.
What you have to remember with Rodon, he was drafted in June of 2014. He only pitched 9 minor league games before he got to the majors. This kid is still a work in progress, and he's only 24 years old, and he's only going to get better, and everything that's been the bugaboo for him is going to start to come together at some point, and it very well could be this season.
Corey.
He's got to get the command under control, and it starts to look like he's starting to do that. That's going to be key to him. So he's a player that I'm in on, another guy with elite stuff. So I took him in the Roto Express mock draft. He's a guy that you can get pretty later on in drafts too. But people are going to be on him. I think his draft stock rises, though. I think as we get closer to opening day, I think he's going to start to come up board some.
I think I don't think he's burned as many people as Michael Pineda has. No. I think he was a little bit younger. People still have that excitement in the back of their mind. And I don't know, like, Tony's 1,000% right. Like, he is very, very much like Pineda, but I don't think he has the stink on him like Pineda does quite yet. So I agree with Corey that he's someone that I think people will remember his age, they'll remember the youth, and they'll remember that he should be pretty good.
Yeah,
and
I felt like last year was like going into last year, they're like, almost like the final year where people are going to give Pineda the benefit of the doubt.
I agree.
You know?
I totally agree with you. Yeah. And I think they should probably reconsider that here in 2017.